Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's BudPod 125.
125. Nice number, 125.
I was just thinking that.
Because it's a quarter of 500.
Ooh, and it's just any multiple of 25. It's a nice neat number you could take home to mother.
It really is. It's got good manners. It's going to call her ma'am. You'd love to bring 25 home to mum.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, 125, neat, polite. You can slot it away.
It's a square number, and it's a quarter of 100. It's just lovely.
It's like the number equivalent of when you watch one of those sort of satisfying GIFs on the internet when someone slides a joint of wood into another joint of wood and you can't see the join. That's it.
Lovely.
Smooth.
You know what I've been meaning to do for ages, but I've never remembered to do in the moment?
Wash?
is to have a shower, yeah.
Yeah.
Is to say when I'm spent either 250 or like £25 on something, instead of saying £25, I will tell people, I'll say, guess how much it costs, and they'll guess, and I'll go, a quarter of £100.
That's nice.
Because I don't know why we only use a quarter and a half for million.
Yeah.
It's only a million that we use quarters. A quarter of a million. No, you don't even say a quarter of a billion. You only say a quarter of a million.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So I'm going to start.
Yeah, you wouldn't say a cool quarter billion pounds.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
Maybe because.
Like, oh, how much was the flight? A quarter of £1,000.
Do you think it's because. So in the case of a quarter of a billion. That's almost always being said in a circumstance where you want to emphasize the number.
Yep.
So
yep.
You want to be able to go what's a quarter of 250 million is a quarter of a billion now.
Yeah.
Yeah. $250 million.
Right, you're right. Because that sounds more impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds more impressive than a quarter of a billion.
Yeah. It's more sort of game show like, whereas yeah, I guess a quarter of £1,000 is very funny.
I think that's the funniest one. I think it's funnier than a quarter of 100.
Yeah, a quarter of £1,000.
Because it's quite big, but it's not big enough for you to make a huge deal out of it.
Also, contextually, when you say that to fuck with someone, it's something that they do expect to cost at least in the hundreds.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
an airplane
exactly.
ticket.
£250,000.
£250,000.
It's funny. I don't know why. It's just funny.
It's quite funny when you read, if you read like an old novel and they're talking about like corruption or like someone being bribed or whatever. And it is funny when sometimes they're like, and he did it all for £10. And you have to remind yourself, like, okay, no, wait, £10 is like a year's wages or whatever.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. But it's still on the page. It looks fucking ridiculous.
I mean, in Australia, they had the £10 POMs, the big influx of new British immigrants.
Oh,
in,
yeah.
Was it? The late 20th century. What? And it just cost. They were just like, come to Australia, build a whole life. We'll give you a house and a job. Just pay £10.
That was it, wasn't it? Just,
yeah, they paid £10, started a new life in Australia.
A pro-immigration Australia. A pro-specifically white British people immigration Australia.
A very selectively pro-immigration Australia.
More like corporate headhunting than anything else.
And now the corollary is happening with sort of post-Brexit Britain, where they're like, we're going to open up the Commonwealth again. To be a citizen of the Commonwealth is to be a citizen of Britain. Whether you're from New Zealand, Canada, or Australia, you're British. And everyone's like, okay, I think there are a few more Commonwealth, whether you're from Australia, New Zealand, or Canada, no matter where you're from those three countries, you are going to be British now. It's very funny.
Whether you're from Botswana, Lesotho, or Mozambique, we can't wait to welcome you. Good piece of trivia. Mozambique is the only country in the Commonwealth that wasn't a British possession. It was Portuguese.
Yes. It's the only one that opted into the Commonwealth, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
In like the 70s. Yeah.
They made their choice.
Yeah.
They made their choice. I would just...
Thank you. Thank you for flying with British Empire.
Obrigado. I would love... to see Nigel Farage or Priti Patel. Well, actually, she could kind of do it maybe a bit more sincerely because her parents are from Uganda, aren't they?
Are they Ugandan Indian?
Yeah.
Indian? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Whereas Farage, I would just love Farage to be like, not just like Botswana or Lesotho or whatever, but in the Commonwealth, but like really specific like African tribes he's particularly fond of.
Wait, so Priti Patel is also... Because in the last episode we were talking about how Priti Patel had nothing on... Was it the Dutch?
The Danish guy, yeah.
The Danish guy. But if she is descended from Ugandan Indians, then she's likely descended from refugees as well.
Yes, yes. I don't know if they were officially refugees. But no, she's... It's more just that, like... I think Ethiopia has more currency in the Bleeding Heart world than the Uganda.
Oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah, sure.
Let's find out. Priti Patel. God, her Wikipedia profile picture is the most evil smirk. I mean, I know we've discussed the smirk many times, but fucking hell.
Priti Patel Wikipedia.
Yeah, look at it. Ugandan Indian family, yeah. Her paternal grandparents were born in Gujarat, in India, moved to Uganda, ran a convenience store in Kampala, and in the 60s they emigrated to the UK. Okay, so it doesn't say that they were...
I think Priti Patel is quite good looking. Is that bad?
No, I've heard it said, Phil. I've heard it said on the grapevine.
Yeah, I think she's very good looking. I guess this speaks to my, and you're familiar with this, lifelong weakness for... very mean brunettes, and you don't get much meaner.
This is because you yourself are an immigrant, Phil. This is like Priti Patel. If you tried to like go out with her, that's the closest you'd come to being that German guy who met up with the cannibal so he could be eaten. You'd be like, well, she might deport me, but it's worth it. Oh.
The thrill of the chase. She's chasing me out the country.
Yeah, to the docks.
That's funny.
Yeah, she really does have a proper Harry Potter killer smirk.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you think you muster up that smirk? Do you think it's her only smile, or do you think she knows that it's like it's time to turn on the smirk?
I think it's her only smile. I think that's just a smile. People, I think in order for her to be intentionally doing that smirk requires a greater sense of humor than she's capable of, surely.
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it requires such a sense of irony and sarcasm to smirk the way she does.
I think those are the scariest types of politician, especially right-wing. Almost always right-wing politician where it's so much of a game to them that they're like, oh, I just have to pretend to be this evil guy, and then you pretend to not be the evil guy, and then we'll go for drinks after. You know, where,
wait,
it's,
say that again?
where it's like, it's just a big game of politics, a big bit of fun. Like, when you read about Boris Johnson saying to David Cameron, oh, well, I'll head up Vote Leave. And then obviously Vote Leave will lose. And then you'll be the Prime Minister. And then because I was in charge of Vote Leave, I'll be the next Prime Minister.
Well, it's like, I always hear about sort of like a show like Question Time or Have I Got News For You or whatever.
Yeah.
They'll go on the program and there's like a Tory and a Labour person and they're like, blah, 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 blah. And the Tory afterwards will always be like, oh, that was good fun. See you next time. Oh, you almost got me there. You almost. And the Labour person will just be like,
cold with fury.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, is that it does seem to be, at least in the UK, a right-wing thing, that detachment.
Yeah, it's all a bit more of a game.
Maybe that's why they win all the time, because people can sense that they're just, like, detached a bit. They're just kind of like, well, you know.
Well, they can sort of apply game theory to it. They can strategize, because they can see the game of it. And they don't get consumed by, you know, moralistic or ethical obsessions.
It is funny because it is such a like such a sort of like really basic Disney villain logic, like you were blinded by love.
Yeah, but what Disney misses out is that works.
Yes, yeah, just Captain Hook surrounded by the skeletons of flying boys. But yeah, it's all too easy to imagine these guys being like, for all your empathy, there's one thing you could never understand. And that's how to win.
What were the three African countries you named earlier?
Botswana, Lesotho, and Mozambique.
Why those?
Botswana borders South Africa, Lesotho is in South Africa, Mozambique borders South Africa.
Oh, are they quite white African nations?
No, I was making the opposite point.
Oh, I see.
As in, how much I'd love it for them to just be like, pick these three, like, absolutely, almost random.
Right, yeah.
Former Commonwealth members. And be like, what? Like, just to see the reaction in the press.
yeah. That'll make up the shortfall of the of European trade.
yeah, just to see loads and loads of like former UKIP members and local councillors through gritted teeth having to go, thank God we don't have those Polish people anymore. We've got all these Ugandans now. Thank God for the Sotho-speaking people of Lesotho. Just to see them have to justify it out loud because they've finally got what they wanted, which is non-EU controlled immigration.
Yeah. I am double jabbed, Pierre.
You've been double jade.
Yeah, I've been double jade. I've got the J in me.
You've got the J. Double jib jabs.
I've got jib jabs. I'm Jabba the Hutt over here. Why has no one else said this? Or I'm full on Jabba the Hutt at the moment.
You're a member of the House of Jabsburg.
The Jabsburgs.
How did it feel? When did you get it jabby jabbed into you?
On Friday, I did like one of them walk-up ones.
Ooh.
It was so fast.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just went to a nearby sports leisure center.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Got jibber-jabbed, got Jabba the Hutt. I didn't quit that jibber-jabber. I joined it.
I would love the US getting desperate enough to try and make people take the vaccine that they get Mr. T involved. Wait, is he dead?
No.
He can't be. Can he?
I don't think he is. Have you got the Mandela effect about Mr. T?
I just got a sudden wave of fear that Mr. T was dead. As if there was a great disturbance in the force.
I don't think he is dead.
He's alive. Mm-hmm. Chill out, everyone. Mm-hmm. He's 69, the sexiest age.
Ah, lovely. Nice.
Nice. I pity the fool who doesn't get jabbed.
I was going to say, I pity the fool who doesn't receive oral pleasure while they give it.
Jabbing his bejeweled hand into your chest as he says it. Okay, okay. So
yeah, I'm a double Pfizer boy.
Ooh,
double Pfizer.
Any side effects? Any illness?
Both times, just a really sore shoulder that woke me up in the middle of the night.
Uh huh.
But nothing else. I feel a bit bok today, but that could literally be anything.
yeah, that could be the armpit swamp heat.
That could just be me living life. Living my life.
Yeah. That is the problem I had with, like, when I did have, you know, a mild form of long COVID. It was also like, oh, it can also make you feel tired and useless. And you're like, well, that's not, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I'm always tired. You know how the Hulk says, Eric Banner in the first Avengers movie, he was like, when he turns into the Hulk for the big final battle, yeah. He's like, what, doesn't someone say, but don't you need to get angry? And he goes, I'm always angry. It's, and he goes,
as you said, that's my secret.
That's his secret.
That's my secret. I'm always angry.
I'm always angry. That's me, I say in that voice, I say, I'm always sleepy. And then, I'm just always sleepy. And I go, and I fall asleep.
Yeah, I was going to say, you tense up and then immediately drop to the floor.
Yeah, and all my clothes are ripped off for some reason, except my pants.
All your clothes are ripped off except, so there's like pajamas underneath now. Yeah, man.
Yeah, so I was speaking to someone yesterday, a friend who got COVID, like original COVID, really, really badly.
Ooh.
I think I mentioned him before. He had such a strong immune response. Well, he got it so bad that he ended up donating his plasma to the NHS.
Yes, 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 yes.
Because they wanted to study his insane immune response because he got it so bad. But he was saying yesterday that he got it so bad that while he was in hospital, he started... He was hallucinating that he was in the Syrian war.
Ooh.
And he was running. He'd get run out of bed to his brother who was staying with him and say, we need to get out of here. Get in the car. He thought he was with Médecins Sans Frontières in Syria.
Oh, my God.
Mm. And I was like, that's a pretty arrogant hallucination to have. He's not a doctor.
That's important to know. That's very good to know that he's not a doctor, because I was thinking, wow, he was hallucinating similar to his life.
Nope, not a doctor at all.
He's just like a birthday clown or something. I was hallucinating that the mafia wanted to kill me for being so rich and having such a large penis. I was terrified.
But I'll never know the joys of such hallucinations because I'm jabbed up to the nines.
That's right. That's right. The only way that you could ever know the joys of those hallucinations is if some kind of mega variant was created by combining all the variants like a Power Rangers Megazord robot.
But I'm sure that's not going to happen at the start of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go and cough on all my friends again down at the old cough park.
I don't feel invincible at all, because I've still got a couple of weeks, although yeah. I feel good because I did it at the 8-week mark,
the sweet spot.
It's supposed to be the sweet spot now, at least for Pfizer.
Yeah,
it's a sweet spot.
No word on the Moderna weeks. Sweet spot, but my second jibber jabber is in 10 days.
I always forget your Moderna.
I know.
And what's funny enough, it's the IB of vaccinations. And you also did the IB.
I just can't be pinned down, Phil. I've always got to be special. Got to have this little unique thing that I say. Lifetime hipster reward, thank you. Yeah, that's... I don't know when the sweet spot is for Moderna. I'm hoping that I don't get any second jab symptoms. The thing that annoyed me about the long COVID stuff is that a lot of the symptoms are just like... Possible symptoms of long COVID include eyelashes and waking up.
What?
Just like they're just there's like hundreds of symptoms, and some of them are just what it's like to be alive.
Yeah, just off covering your ass kind of thing. You might feel hungry a couple of times a day. You must make sure to eat.
Yeah, eating is very important to being able to live through this particular condition.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's...
You will feel sleepy once a day.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah. A sudden lack of daylight will
will make it hard. Will impair your vision.
It'll impair your
lack
vision.
Of light might impair your vision.
Yeah, it's very. Will I still play the piano anymore? Well, I couldn't before.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm quite fortunate in the sense that my long COVID took the form of a tangibly fucked up sense of taste.
Yeah, but that I guess offsets some of your lockdown weight gain. Do you reckon? Or no noticeable?
I don't know. Benefit. I mean, sort of the taste is all back now. Maybe that's how I put all the weight on.
Mm.
It's like embracing an old lover. Taste my oldest friend. Get in my mouth. Just, I've got to retaste everything. Maybe that's what did it. I stand by the tweet I did today about the average. Did you see that story about the average weight gain in lockdown?
Oh yeah, it was something like 3 kg.
Yeah, it was 3 kilos, half a stone. It's rookie numbers.
Do you know how many kgs you went up?
Oh boy, yeah. I went up, Christ, like. I mean, at least 14, 15.
Really?
Yeah.
14, 15 kilograms?
Yeah, like 2...
Kilograms?
Kilograms, yeah. Like 2-3 stone, definitely.
Whoa.
Maybe as many as 3 stone. Yeah, 2-2.5.
No, that's serious.
I don't know how I did it. And also, what's weird is that the last time I was this fat, which was like 10 years ago, I looked fat, and I didn't look as fat this time.
You don't look fat this time.
But how is that
happening? Maybe it's all inside your bones.
I think it's
in your organs.
I think it is. I think it's genuinely like if you cut me in half, I'd be like a big salami.
Or like a burrata, you know, when you those cheese balls and you slice it. Oh, this looks solid. And you slice it over and all this gloop comes out.
That's it, exactly. And then if I had surgery, that's what it would look like. And all the surgeons would be like, ooh, and they'd get like meze. They'd be dipping pitters.
Dip in you.
They'd be dipping pitters in my body cavity.
Gross.
That is gross.
Lovely. Delicious. Delicious.
Do you think it would be delicious? Human fat?
Well, I mean, sort of no fat is sort of delicious just on its own like that, right?
I guess. I think that there are some fats that are gross. I think fish fat is gross.
Fish fat is... I once, as a kid, almost... Well, not almost. I accidentally put some fish fat in my mouth and started chewing, and it was the worst taste in my life. To this day, I've not tasted anything worse. And I've tasted some pretty gnarly shit. I've had cockroaches.
Yeah.
They were like caviar compared to fish fat. I almost threw up. Instantly.
Like some kind of
awful
medical reaction.
Yeah.
Oof. Was it raw or cooked or what fish?
I think it was a bit cooked. I don't know, just normal fish. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Just some normal fish.
That could be part of your hatred of baked salmon.
Maybe. It's that sort of cream, that white kind of salmon jizz that forms... On a baked salmon,
yeah.
I just bleh, horrible.
Yeah, it's like the horrible white stuff that people sometimes don't bother scraping off the top of the bacon.
Oh yeah, bacon white. What is up with bacon white? What is that?
I don't know, but I'm liking the term bacon white. For the living room, Diane and I were thinking bacon white. It's warm, isn't it? It's a warm color.
It's a warm white. It's not bright. It's homely. Yeah, bacon white's horrible. Sandwiches is awful. Baked salmon is the only food I don't like. And then I realized I also really don't like feta.
Feta?
Feta. It's not as bad as baked salmon, but if you put feta in something, I will probably pick it out. It's the one thing I might pick out.
Really?
Or food. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like that crumbly kind of... I don't like it. It's like, it doesn't know what it is.
Right. It's a sort of a cheese from the in-between world.
Yeah, it's a cheese from the upside down. It's like a ghost of a cheese, you know?
What's that fucking creature from Stranger Things that they worried about?
Oh, I can't remember now.
The fucking Rumblenaut or whatever.
The Scordigon. The Scudigon. Oh. The Radagon. The Dagobom.
The
Gorgonon?
The Gorgon... The Gorgadoody. The Gorgathon. Yeah.
Stranger Things monster. This is going to annoy me. No, these are all new ones. Demogorgon. Demogorgon. Demogorgon.
The Demogorgon, that's right. So feta cheese is the sort of thing a Demogorgon would eat.
It's cheese you would make from the teat of a Demogorgon, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I accept that feta cheese is a bit smegma-like.
That's it, thank you. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, it's like it's come... Yeah, it's like it's been collected from under someone's foreskin. That's what I don't like about it. It is so smegma-like.
Yeah. I don't... Has that ruined it for me? We'll see.
And I just don't think that... I think it's like the taste is just kind of like salty and wet.
It is one of those cheeses that can often come in a sort of bag of its own wet.
Yeah, and you don't like wet more than anyone.
True, but then the cheese itself is almost uncompromisingly dry.
Yeah, I don't know how it's done that.
Yeah, what scared the wet out of that goddamn smeg cheese?
The Demogorgon blood.
You scared the wet out of me.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying I pissed my pants. It scared the wet out of me.
It's the way a sort of goblin who hasn't quite grasped the English language would say it in a film. Something quite horribly immature about it.
You scared the wet out of me, sir.
Yeah, that's like something Dobby would
I was about say. To say, Dobby's pissed his pants. That's what that is. I can confidently say that there, in terms of the Harry Potter movies, there has never been a character that had done so little to earn a dramatic, on-screen, sad, slow death than that fucking 3D elf.
Yeah, I never got on board with all that. I don't even know how many Harry Potters I saw. I think I maybe saw three of them. Dobby turns up by that point, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's all very sad in the books or whatever, but in the movie he was so 3D and so, like, pathetic in so many ways that I found him sort of more, sort of annoying.
Yeah, I found he's the Jar Jar Binks of Harry Potter.
He's,
he's the Jar Jar Binks of Harry Potter.
Every franchise has a Jar Jar Binks.
Every franchise has, yeah, a horrible, long-eared, 3D abomination.
Yeah.
That refers to itself in the third person. Dobby refers to himself in the third person, right?
I think he does, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It's like in Too Many Cooks, Schnarf.
Oh, Too Many Cooks, that Adult Swim video.
Yeah, yeah, they have Schnarf, that sort of like cat puppet.
Oh yeah, God! I haven't watched that video in so long.
It's so funny, but they, like, it's that sort of '80s thing of like, and a kind of zany pet assistant,
right? Like sort of Alf kind of thing.
Yeah, Alf, Schnarf, Gloof, Blump. You know.
Did you ever watch a sitcom? I loved it. It was on the Malaysian TV when I was a kid. Was it Bigfoot? Or like he was a...
Oh, I know what you mean.
Bigfoot lived with a family.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Wasn't that it?
Is that it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And it is like a kind of friendly Bigfoot guy.
Yeah, that's it. Gosh.
Harry and the Hendersons.
That was so weird.
A 1987 fantasy comedy film starring John Lithgow and David Suchet. What the fuck?
43% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's higher than I would have thought. Okay, so the TV spin-off is from the movie. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. They adopt a Bigfoot called Harry. Interesting that they don't say the Bigfoot.
Oh, do they say... Oh, yeah, I've got a friendly Sasquatch.
A Bigfoot.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh. Trying to keep the legend... Oh, they tried to keep the legend of Bigfoot a secret. Right.
It's interesting, isn't it, that they're trying to hedge their bets there by saying, just a Bigfoot. God knows we don't want to get sued by the Bigfoot.
Yeah, the Bigfoot estate is brutal. They don't fuck around.
You do not want to fuck with the kind of NDAs that the Bigfoot estate makes you sign.
And it's Bigfoot. It's a big estate. It's all of... Is it Yellowstone? Where is he supposed to be?
Yeah, Yellowstone is in sort of Pacific Northwest, yeah. Something like that. He's a Bigfoot. I like the idea that Bigfoot is the Harvey Weinstein of cryptozoology. He's this horrible, tyrannical, evil figure sort of forcing people into silence.
Yeah, you can't say that about Do you have any idea how much trouble you're going to get into with the Bigfoot estate if they heave?
Well, you know what? I am going to get fucking...
Lawyer up, yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Lawyer up.
I'm going to get Woody Allen's son. Ronan Farrow. I'm going to get Ronan Farrow. That's his fucking name. And he's going to blow the lid off this whole Bigfoot debacle.
Forget to catch and kill. How about to catch and take a blurry photo of? that's the Bigfoot expose.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's that Bigfoot has got some kind of futuristic photo blurring technology. That's my spin on it. He's actually a very advanced creature.
Yeah, he's got like a cloaking device.
Yeah. Surely there's a Star Trek episode where Captain Kirk seduces and fucks Bigfoot.
Yeah, it was revolutionary at the time, actually. It was the first on-screen kiss between a white person and a Bigfoot.
They got a lot of bad press for that.
They got a lot of hate mail. Mainly from the Bigfoot estate.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, that something like Star Trek was revolutionary ever?
Yeah.
Because it really was. But it's sort of, it's so like kind of cheesy and parodied now that we forget how revolutionary it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of envy the previous generations for, you know, I feel like we don't have those moments. I mean, I guess the flip side is that we live in a less racist / homophobic society than they did, but it was still nice to have those moments. It must have been fun.
I guess, like, what was it? In the UK, the British equivalent was the first time in a soap opera that two men kissed and two women kissed, and then obviously the Sun, which it would like us to forget, was like astonishingly homophobic about it, as were a lot of national papers. Yeah. And that was just in like the 90s or something.
Yeah.
You always forget how recent it is.
It is, and I was thinking recently, you know, it's mad how, like, no one gives a shit about gay marriage anymore. It was it only became legal, like, what, 2015?
Yeah, it had to be that recent, because it's a Cameron thing.
Yeah, it was a Cameron thing, and like, the fury up to then, all these decades and centuries of opposition, and everyone who was against it would be like, oh, it'll be the downfall of the traditional family. You won't hear the end of this, and it happened. And now, no one could give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, we've we've really heard the end of it.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. I find it very encouraging because it's like, oh, you might win this battle, but that doesn't mean they won't come back. It might. It really might mean they never come back.
it's like with
Trump and stuff. They're like, oh, Trump might have lost the presidency, but his supporters are there, and they're gonna keep. They might not. It might really be over.
Yeah.
These things don't necessarily always keep going. These fights.
Yeah, they might just go okay, and then they all die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened. It kind of happened with Corbyn. Yeah. All this fight, like we organize, we get ready for the next thing. Nah, it's just over. No one cares anymore.
Yeah, and
it's over.
People are just tweeting like, "Well, I'm going to join the Greens then, or the Northern Independence Party," and everyone just goes, "Okay, bye."
Yeah.
And then they do, and
yeah,
then
so
that's it.
Yeah, I guess what I find encouraging about the success of gay marriage is just like sometimes battles do end. Sometimes it finishes. Sometimes people, you know, society actually does move on. It makes a decision about something and moves on. I mean, who knows if in 100 years they rediscover a desire not to let gay people get married. I mean, society is cyclical like that sometimes, but I know, it doesn't seem that way for now.
It certainly didn't ping back in people's face immediately, did it?
Yeah.
Do you know what's weird? The only backlash I saw outside of a few seriously right-wing Christian nutters, or, you know, nutters indeed of any faith, the only backlash I saw, I saw the most hipster take. It was an LGBT person that you and I know opining that this was actually bad because it meant that gay people were now no longer sort of countercultural enough.
Oh, boy.
And that by being absorbed by such a ridiculous and outdated institution as marriage, that was actually bad.
There's some people who just, they live for the fight, and
yeah,
they'll find a new fight, even one that doesn't make sense.
It just reminded me of that drill tweet where he's like, and the man bowed his head and said, "Actually, that good thing is actually bad, you idiot, you fucking moron," or whatever.
Yeah, the wise man bowed his head.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and said, "That good thing is actually bad, you idiot, you fucking moron."
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I always imagine the wise man bowing his head like a character in Dragon Ball Z about to reveal why they're going to win the fight.
Yeah.
With that kind of like, swing, going across the eyes. Little glint. Little spooky glint.
Spooky glint was a very good...
Yes!
A very good jazz double bassist. Eerie. An eerie style.
That's right, yeah. Terrifying.
Employed. Spooky glint, but... it was good stuff. His walking bass lines felt like they were following you down a dark alley.
Yes,
dum,
yes.
Dum, 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 dum. That's when you know you listen to Spooky Glint. That's a Spooky Glint solo.
my nephew referred to Goosebumps the other day as his Spooky Bumps.
How old is he?
He's 28 years old. You set me up for an old...
I was really hoping you'd do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Stuart Lee and Richard Herring if you're listening. And you might be.
Yeah, it might be.
It might be. No, he is 3.
Spooky bumps.
Yeah. Look at my spooky bumps.
Mm.
I guess that makes more sense than a goose.
Yeah, goosebumps. Where does a goose come in here? Why is there a goose?
How well acquainted are you with a plucked goose, Tiny Tim?
Hmm. Well, the geese are scary. They're very violent.
Maybe that's more where it comes from. Someone finds geese so frightening and otherworldly that they just get the tingles. We can do some light corresponding?
Yeah, let us correspond.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ring, ring.
Letters,
emails,
phone
calls,
correspondence.
Tom gets in touch.
Tom, mi hombre.
Nice, nice. He says, howdy, buds. I'm only on episode 14 or something, so I don't know if this is still going, but I want to share a normal weird thing with you. E.g., things that are weird but should be normal, or are normal but should be weird.
Yep. I remember this. Yeah, I love being reminded of these old features.
Yes, that was a good one. So he's going for smiling on your own in public. He says should be normal, is perceived as weird.
Yeah, it is definitely perceived as weird. But it is unsettling, even when like you're on a bus or a train or something and you see someone and they're just looking down at the floor and they go and you can see they've got like ear pods in or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, they're listening to something funny. They're probably listening to Bud Pod.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's something in your monkey brain that keeps going, they're crazy. What's wrong with them? They're not all right.
What have they done to this train?
I cut the brakes.
It's, yeah. If you smile on your own in public, you look a bit too much like the Elijah Wood's character in Sin City.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah.
That's why you have to make that halfway smile. Like when you walk past someone, you kind of recognize that sort of purely horizontal smile.
Yeah. Horizontal smile emoji.
You just shove the corners of your mouth laterally into your cheeks. Just like that. Just so people know that you know you've got an acquaintance with each other, but you're not going to be weird by smiling or expect to smile back. You're just like a little, I know you.
Yeah, you're not gonna react to them with your face like a kind of end of Lord of the Rings kind of you're alive. Sort of creepy level of joy.
Have you seen that scene recently? Just it's fucking weird.
Constant laughing, yeah.
It's so strange when Frodo's waking up in that bed and it's got like all this Vaseline kind of lighting. It's all like smudgy and bright.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah. And then Gandalf turns up and everyone's like, and Gandalf just goes, and everyone's like, it's like, what the fuck are you laughing at? You almost died.
If given what I would know about Gandalf by then, if I saw him laughing, I'd fucking shit myself.
Yeah, he's Gandalf the White at this point. He's very powerful.
Like, imagine how much more afraid you'd be if Jesus returned to Earth, but he was absolutely pissing himself.
Maybe that's why everyone was laughing. It's like when someone powerful finds something funny, you have to laugh along out of politeness.
Yeah, it's true.
So maybe people will just laugh. Maybe Frodo and the other hobbits just laughing along with Gandalf because they were terrified. Like, yeah, it's very funny, isn't it, Gandalf? What's he laughing at? I don't know. But don't piss him off. Just laugh. Yes, we almost died in Mordor.
Haven't you seen the fucking...
Yeah, no, it's funny.
The glowing, the blurriness, just laugh. So Tom says that it should be normal, but is perceived as weird. Why should one hideth his emotions simply because one is in the public eye, judgmental and unblinking?
Yeah.
I want to stroll freely amongst my fellow men or women and allow all emotions to grace my wind and cold battered face for one rare painless second of existence.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's a British thing too, I think.
Yeah. It's a Northern Europe thing.
Yeah.
I remember you saying someone emailed you about how they were no longer able to listen to you in public due to laughing fits of laughter being provoked. Our men and oh, how I identify. That's very nice. Cheers. Tom in Bristol, where Banksy was made and Colston unmade.
Interesting.
Very nice.
Well, you know, you've never seen Banksy and Edward Colston in the same room.
There have been no new Banksy since they took down that racist statue. Who knew that a haunted statue of a racist would secretly be good at graffiti? Who knew that a hundreds of years old slave owner would have the kind of genius satirical mind to come up with, it's a policeman and he's got a gun, but the gun is a flower.
It's the Houses of Parliament, but they're all chimps, because it's a bit like that sometimes, isn't it?
It's Donald Trump, but he's a baby. And he's in a nappy, and he's in a pram. And the pram is being pushed by the Grim Reaper. There we go. How terrified would you be if, like, the next Banksy that came up was, like, a Banksy version of the Bud Pod logo?
That'd be amazing. That'd be so great.
I'd be like, Banksy's out to get us. Oh, fuck. I did think the shredding thing was cool, to be fair.
That'd be quite a cool... The shredding thing. Oh, yeah, the shredded painting of his.
Yeah, but you know it automatically shredded.
Yeah, yeah, the shredder was built into the frame.
Yeah, no one knew it was even there. It's amazing.
It was very cool. Yeah, I mean, I know someone who works at that auction house, and there were people were just freaking out. They had no idea. But then, the shredded piece, which only started shredding once someone had bought it, like leapt in value the second it was shredded.
Yeah, what a gift.
Yeah.
Tom says, P.S. I forgot something. Did you know that a bud pod is a little Perspex box used to display weed varieties in shops in countries where marijuana is sold legally?
Yes, we've always been aware our name is marijuana adjacent.
Mm-hmm. And we've...
But not so specific. Never known so specifically.
Yeah, and we don't mind, because I think marijuana enthusiasts would enjoy this podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think they'd resent it.
No. It's pretty trippy, dudes.
They're talking about poop. Talk about poop and, like, science and stuff. Imagine being such a bitter person that you make a resentful stoner. How rare that is.
I don't even like weed anyway. I don't know why I smoke it. Oh, now I'm hungry. God.
Oh, Hugo gets in touch.
Hugo, now you go and tell us about yourself.
Nice. He says, hi, pee and cock.
Pee and cock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, peacock.
Oh, of course. I accepted it.
I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He says, coolest uncool, I'm still in 2019. We got some old features stuff happening here. People have been asking for coolest uncool to come back, which is a pretty cool uncool thing to do. Hugo says, I'm currently listening to episode 16 on the same day episode 101 is released. God, we're out of date.
Okay, gosh.
I'm working hard and I'm determined to catch up, so are we. Without cheating and skipping any. Anyways, I have an uncool cool thing for you both. Cocktail makers who don't work at a cocktail bar.
Yeah, that is suspicious.
Yeah. They are obviously cool because they can throw shaker cups over their shoulders and make drinks that don't taste like poison, but they spend so much time perfecting their craft that they can't bear anybody at a party not witnessing their miracles.
Oh gosh, does this happen much? I don't think I've seen this. Someone just turning up at a party and...
To be fair, I've seen people whipping out cocktail skills at a party, but more on request.
Okay, that's all right.
Also, cocktails in general are far less cool than a whiskey since men can't enjoy sugar. All the best and keep Jack Blacking it.
It's true.
That's true.
Men can't enjoy sugar.
It's true.
You know what's the big drink in America right now?
What's the big drink in America right now? Is it freedom?
Yeah, it's always freedom.
Yeah.
But also hard seltzer.
Oh, is it White Claw?
White Claw. Yeah, that's all Americans are talking about.
I've
right
seen
now.
The ads on the tube for White Claw now. It's coming over.
Are they trying to? Yeah, I think I actually saw it in a menu somewhere yesterday. It was like hard seltzer. It's like, God, excuse me. I become like this tweed wearing, like British bulldog kind of Nigel Farage type.
Yeah.
And when I saw hard seltzer on the menu in London, I was like, excuse me. That's not for here, thank you very much. We have flat, warm, bitter ale.
Yes.
All right.
And we might have a whiskey and soda, but it'll also be warm.
It will also be, that's right, hard seltzer. Seltzer? Seltzer. You mean fizzy water?
Seltzer?
Fizzy
water. Are you Groucho Marx? Just comedically spray me in the face with a 1920s-style seltzer dispenser?
That's what I always imagine when I hear seltzer. Yeah, it sounds like a comedy prop.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or it sounds like a kind of like... sort of early Jewish comedy slang, like from the Catskill Mountain Ranges.
Yeah.
Like how shtick is, you know, your material and schwitzing is sweating or whatever. It'd be like a seltzer. It just sounds just Germanic enough to be that sort of American New York Jewish culture stuff. And I do associate it with sort of slapstick, American slapstick.
Yeah, it's very, what's his name? Fucking, Spaceballs and, Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
The word seltzer, yeah.
Yes, it is. But yeah, no, White Claw is going to come here now. And as a man who likes to drink, who's also trying to be less shaped like a big old pint, I'm going to take advantage when I see it, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
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 Unless it's overpriced as some kind of exotic thing, which it's not. It's just nonsense in a can, but whatever.
I mean, it's literally just like pure alcohol and soda water. That's literally it.
With a mild, mild flavoring.
Mild flavoring.
Like when flavored water mild smells like they've fired 1,000 gallons of it through one strawberry.
Yeah. Ugh, yeah. Oh, I hate fizzy drinks where it's like... it says on the front, like, lemon or, like, melon. It's like, ooh, I have a melon drink. And you drink it, it's like, a whisper of melon.
Yeah, it's like if a melon squatted over the vat and went... You go, there you go, that's all the melon flavoring you get.
Yeah, a melon thought of this drink.
Yeah. A melon drove past. And a quick bit of correspondence from Jenny.
Jenny?
Yeah.
I miss Jenny.
That's right. That's all I can think of.
I miss Jenny.
Jenny says, hello, lovely poo boys.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Jenny. I had a conversation with my boyfriend recently where I told him that as a teenager, I thought motorbikes were cool.
Who didn't?
Who didn't?
I thought Harley Davidsons were very cool when I was a teenager.
I
thought like those are always the vehicles I wanted in Grand Theft Autos.
Yeah.
Was the big sort of Harley style bike. I was like, oh, where are they? Why aren't they spawning? They're the coolest.
I was mainly afraid of motorbikes.
For their loudness?
I just thought they were death machines. But then I grew up on the Isle of Man with the TT races and all that, so.
Yeah, so were you terrified once a year?
Well, it would just kill people every year.
Oh, right.
Like, people would crash into a wall and fucking explode, you know. Also, I don't like the smell of petrol.
Ooh, maybe I think I kind of do. Like, petrol, marker pen, Tippex while it's drying. Yeah. Love it.
You're a dope head. A drug fiend. So she says, unfortunately, Facebook overheard this and has been showing me shit like this ever since. And she's attached an image. She says, it only gets worse as I now talk about Facebook showing me things about motorbikes due to one conversation. I'm trying to counteract this by saying things out loud about my imaginary pets in the hopes I'll see more cats modeling funny outfits or parrots screaming at inanimate objects. It is currently unsuccessful. So the image is a kind of sort of quite good drawing of a couple on a Harley from the side.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy driving the Harley is a bald biker type with wraparound shades like a racist militiaman would wear.
Oh, yeah.
And the woman behind him is his old lady, I believe, to use Hell's Angels parlance.
Oh, yeah.
Is a kind of, she's wearing like a kind of, she looks like she's kind of wearing a turban. You know, like a kind of old lady turban.
An old lady turban. I don't think I know what that is.
There's like a kind of 1920s like head turban wraps that were popular for a bit.
Oh, okay.
Not like
okay.
a turban, not like some East, not like a Sikh thing. I mean like the fucking evil woman from Cuzco, The Emperor's New Groove. She wears one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of like a beehive kind of thing.
No. So it doesn't really extend beyond the head. It's just wrapped around the head. It's not tall at all.
Okay.
Hang on. I need to know what this is called.
Is it kind of like what the lady in that big Bertha poster? You know, the one with the lady and she's doing her bicep curl?
No. No. It's like flapper, like 20s, like da ba da ba da ba da. You know. Oh God, is there a special name for it? I think it is just called a turban.
No, yeah.
Anyway, that's not the point. The point is the guy driving the bike is giving the viewer of the image the finger.
Of course.
And the caption is: "Be yourself. People don't have to like you, and you don't have to care."
Why does yourself have to be an asshole? That's what I want to know.
When they say be yourself, they mean feel free to be a fucking cunt. She says, P.S. as a founding farter, I was shocked last month when I realized I didn't really know what Pierre looked like, aside from the little podcast tile. I realized I had been picturing him wearing a hat. I googled him and was shocked to see zero hats.
So Jenny's always imagined you recording this podcast with a little trilby on.
If it's a trilby, I'll be fucking livid. That's a real, like, Jenny, that is a real slam you've done there.
Hat would you like Jenny to have imagined you wearing while you recorded every episode of Bud Pop?
At least if it was like a cowboy hat or something, then it would be either eccentric or the explanation would be that Jenny's, you know, nuts. Whereas I know for a fact that she's imagining, like, the most insulting would be like an incel hat, you know.
Yeah.
But also I think it would be really weird if she was imagining me wearing like one of those like quite tight black beanies like Jesse wears in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That would be a bizarre thing to imagine me wearing. A fucking,
like you have a guitar. You take a guitar to party. Yeah, kind of beanie.
Yeah. A Sherlock Holmes hat? I don't know.
A deer hunter. That'd be all right.
But then why? I don't know. Why? I guess if you don't know what someone looks like, you just imagine whatever you want.
That's true.
Devastated to learn that I sound like I'm wearing a hat.
Some people just sound like they're wearing a hat, Pierre. I'm sorry.
You know Pierre, he's a big guy, sounds like he's wearing a hat. Oh, yeah, I know him. When I speak to people on the phone and then I meet them, I'll have a Zoom meeting, but then I meet them in real life, they go, "Oh, I thought you'd be wearing a hat."
That's funny. That's very funny.
Furious about that. A real L for me there to end the podcast on. Oh, well. Guys, I'm doing the Camden Fringe, third to the 7th of August.
Go check that out.
Camden Comedy Club, 3rd to the 7th of August. I'll be reminding you mainly on my Instagram. I find it harder to promote gigs on Twitter because people don't see stuff as easily. I think it's just a flurry of gibberish these days. So find me on Instagram to keep up to date with that. 3rd to the 7th, Camden Fringe. Edinburgh Fringe, 13th of August to the 19th at the Monkey Barrel Comedy Club.
Ooh, that's a good venue. That's one of the best venues.
It's a sweet, sexy venue. So come, come one, come all. And also thank you to all the pod buds, blah, who came to see my little Country Mile work in progress. It was nice, very cool to see you guys. And also to any pod buds who were at the... what's it called? Underbelly All-Star thing in Earl's Court that was last week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Phil, anything to plug?
My Netflix special.
That's right.
It's coming out on the 10th of August.
10th.
So set your clocks on your Netflix app.
Global release date?
Set your Netflix to record on the 10th of August. Yes, that's a global release date, yeah.
Tune your dial to N for Netflix.
10th of August, wherever you are in the globe, yeah. You should be able to watch it. And also my book, Side Splitter, is coming out in September. You can pre-order now.
Pre-order it. Can people still buy signed copies and thereby force you to sign things?
Oh, there are still signed copies available, yes.
Nice. Well, do it.
Make me work for it.
Make him sweat. Boys and girls.
Make me sweat.
All right, thanks very much for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.